Hey, welcome to the Bible study. I appreciate you watching. And now, I've got about two more messages on Wednesday night on baptism. And then Jeff wants me to preach a little on Daniel, which I probably will do. We won't do a verse-by-verse study, but we'll try to lay the doctrine of Daniel out, kind of what he was saying in Daniel 9. Go to Romans chapter 6. And we were kind of discussing Romans 6. All right, we're talking about baptism, and I want to go down through the list at this point. So get you a piece of paper out and make sure we've got them. Number one, John's baptism, Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, Luke chapter 3, verse 3, and on and on. Christ's baptism of the Holy Ghost. And a lot of people confuse that with what 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13 is. You find that in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. The baptism of fire, Christ's baptism of fire, Matthew 3, 11b. Baptism of Christ is personal baptism, Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. And what was that for? To fulfill all righteousness. Baptism into death, that was Jesus' baptism. Again, the second baptism, which, by the way, I grew up in church, and I went every Sunday there until I was about 15 years old. Age, and I never heard the Lord took of two baptisms, ever. I just never knew it. And possibly three if you consider the Spirit. Nobody really mentions that, but it looks like he was baptized in the Spirit himself. Baptized onto Moses. I missed one. Baptized in the name of Jesus in Matthew 28:20. And that was part of the Great Commission. Why do you think so many people are baptizing today? They think they're fulfilling the Great Commission. It's part of the commission. Go ye in all the world, baptizing them in the name of... That's part of the Great Commission. Well, if you're under that assumption, then what would you typically do? Go baptize. But that's why Paul said, Christ sent me not to baptize, to distinguish between the Great Commission and the commission to the church, the body of Christ. He's trying to make a comparison so that you go, ah, whoa, or whatever you say. As my sister would say, whoa, whoa.
Aha.
Yeah, whatever. So you got baptism in the name of Jesus. Baptize the baptism of the Spirit into Christ. And by the way, I would say that's probably the one you need. You got the baptism onto Moses, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. The baptism for the dead, 1 Corinthians 15, 29, and divers baptisms or washing, Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, and the baptism at Pentecost for the remission of sins. Now, I want to deal, I was going to start in Romans 6, but I want to deal with Acts 2:38. So turn there first, because I did want to nail one point down on that, which I didn't make last time. Acts 2:38 and 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, in Acts 2:38, the Bible says he finishes the murder indictment in verse 36. Watch that. Therefore, let all the house of Israel, who is he talking to?
Israel.
Know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they'd heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And then Peter said unto them, Repent. Repent of their sins? Repent of the murder. But how do people use that verse today?
Repent of your sins.
See, they twist it to fit their doctrine instead of preaching the word. The Bible said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Preach the word. All right, Acts chapter 2. So he just got done preaching a murder indictment, and in verse 38, he said unto them, Repent. And you got to say, for what? It's the murder indictment. And be what? Now, did Peter believe that baptism was important?
Yes,
he did. Did Peter believe that baptism was required in order to be saved? Yes, he did. And that is true in Mark. Hold on to here. Mark 16. Matthew, Mark 16. It was required. No, it isn't for today. But in the Bible, it would be true that they believe that, but it's not true today. Yeah, but it wouldn't save you. I mean, you know, you can believe that until...
We know that, but they don't.
No, but that's what we're trying to teach them.
Right. But wouldn't they be baptized and get saved when they met Jesus when he came down after the 1,000?
No. If they hear the gospel of the grace of God and reject it...
Okay, but if they don't hear it?
I'll get into that. That's a whole different thing. Listen, this is what you got to know. It is not for you today. Okay? It is not for you. If it's teaching today, it can be damnable teaching. Now, Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, this is after the resurrection, and he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? What happens if you don't get baptized? You're not going to be saved. Why? What did Peter say? Repent ye therefore and be baptized. Why? Water, it is part of the Great Commission. Now, let me ask you a question. Would this baptism save you?
No.
No, it won't. Can you get baptized here and be lost still? Yes. Exactly. I'm going to get to that. You'll understand. Even though they got water baptized, it was required for salvation. But that alone wouldn't save a person. What is the gospel back here? Well, repent, believe, be baptized. Well, that's what the belief is. Baptism in water, sell out. Someone said, keep the commandments, endure unto the end. It's in here, keep the commandments. And what? Pretty much it. All right? Now, what happens if you repent and believe and you're baptized and you sell out, but you don't endure or keep the commandments? What could happen to you?
You're lost.
You could be lost. You all understand? But could you sell out, keep the commandments, endure, repent, and not be baptized? No, it took all of them in order to be saved. You all understand? This was a required list. All right, you got me? It's a required list. Very important. The Church of Christ teaches the doctrine of water baptism actually correctly. Unfortunately, it's in the wrong dispensation, number one. But number two, and the important part of this is it couldn't save you if you're water baptized. This would even be after. This goes, let me put this in sequence. It goes all the way from Matthew through Acts chapter 7. From there to there. That's where that goes. Acts chapter 9 is where the church starts.
Barry, they also had to do a blood sacrifice too, didn't they?
Well, they would have in the fact that they were Jews, but again, it wasn't necessarily a requirement because the sacrifice Christ had died. But the realization is they had to believe what? That Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was buried, and that he rose again. Number two, they had to believe in water baptism by submersion in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost for remission of sins. Number three, they had to sell out. They had to keep the commandments and on and on. It's all required. Now, I'm going to show you an example but I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter 3. It's still to the Jews. I mean, it's what Peter believed. I'll show you that in just a second. Give me just a second. I think I can show you why I believe that, you know, and the comparison. Because that really is a confusion. Because where do most people, by the way, divide the scriptures? At the cross. They say, well, everything's new after the cross. But that isn't really true. It isn't different until you get to Paul. That's when it's different. You're apostle. Yes. Aren't you glad I'm here? I showed up prepared and ready to go. 1 Peter chapter 3. Read with me if you will in verse 20. Which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few... That is, 8 souls were saved by what? How did they get saved? Actually, they didn't have portals, but I do this for the kids. 2 by 2, they were in the ark, and they were saved by water. Who actually was submerged in water?
Everybody else.
Everybody that was lost. They were saved by water, and the water was their separation. Water separated. What was the water here to show? It was to separate. Remember what John said? Who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Water baptism separates. divides. You're on this side, you're on that side. I like to think of baptism like a badge. You go into Kmart and says, "Hi, Kmart employee Kristen. We'd like to say welcome you." What does that tag do? Identifies them as one of the employees. So you can be helped. Now, you can't find much help in Kmart or a Home Depot, but that's how you would find them, is by identification. Same thing is true with this water baptism. What did it show? The Pharisees' belief of the Old Testament scriptures. Otherwise, they'd be getting baptized. It's a dividing thing. It's showing a group. Our baptism, the one that belongs to the church, the body of Christ, this baptism over here identifies us with who? What does that identify us with? Christ, the body. Y'all understand? Their water baptism identified them with who?
Israel.
Israel, the repentant nation of Israel. That's who that water baptism showed forth. Well, look at what he says again. That is, the end of 20, that is, eight souls were saved by water, verse 21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Save us who? Israel. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, let me read it without the parentheses. The like figure whereunto even baptism also now saves us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Could water baptism save you without the resurrection? No. Why? He's ultimately the Savior. If He doesn't rise from the dead, you can be baptized until, as they say, hell freezes over, and you couldn't be saved. Peter preached what after the cross? The death, the burial, and the resurrection, DVR. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. What do most religious people preach today? The death, the burial, and the resurrection. What do we teach?
Death, burial, resurrection, but it was our sin.
He died, was buried. He died for our sin, buried, and rose again the third day.
He died for our sins, FOSS, he defossed, BR. Now that's the difference. Y'all understand? That's the difference. He died. We preach the death, don't we? We teach the burial, don't we? We preach the resurrection, don't we? But we preach a mystery of the death, which was what? That while he was on that cross, God had made him to be sin for us. Y'all with me? That's the mystery.
I read today that the main difference was that we got forgiveness, they got remission.
Well, that's true. That's true. We're forgiven. They have to wait till second coming. Why is that important? Well, they could believe and be baptized and then not sell out everything they had. Guess who's an example of that? Ananias and Sapphira. They even sold their land, but they kept back a little bit of the change just in case it didn't quite work out. Now, it isn't a lot, but I'm just going to keep it. Isn't that where those ladies stick everything? And guys, listen to me. If they didn't do this all the way on to the end, what happens to them? They don't make it.
Of course, not every day.
They don't make it.
They have to receive the gospel of Christ now.
Yeah, today it is the gospel of Christ. But I mean, let's say they did everything, but at the end they give it up. They're lost. That's why they don't have eternal security. He'll deny them.
Mm-hmm. They're taking a chance on the end.
But hang on. Not us.
If they don't forgive.
Do what?
Well, you were saying like they're taking a chance, but it's not like they're taking a chance. That's the only choice.
Yeah, exactly. If they don't do it, it's done. It's a requirement.
Terry's right, too, about forgiveness, because like in the Lord's Prayer, if you want forgiveness, you got to be blessed.
Well, and I was dealing with someone earlier on this exact subject. You know, they say, well, what do most Christians teach today? That Christ died for our sins, and that is, our sins go up, but once we're saved, we have to live it.
That's right.
Well, that doctrine comes out of enduring on to the end and keeping the commandments over here.
Right. Forgive one another, love.
You see, that's the problem. The mystery is that Christ took your sins and became sin for you. Oh, it's done.
That's right. Yeah, and there is no more us and them either. It's all one.
Right. And by the way, could someone start the program of this believe, repent, baptize? Get a picture of that on the board. Repent, believe. Could anybody start the program today like that and make it?
No.
No. It's not what God is doing. You know, it is, guys, listen to me. I'm trying to be as honest and as frank as I can be. In fact, if you don't watch out, I'll be a Charlie. So did Peter believe that water baptism was a requirement for salvation?
Yes.
If that's the case, then Paul's trying to send people to hell. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm going to come on up just a little bit and start in verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you. If that is true, and Peter is true, then Paul is saying, I'm glad I didn't baptize any of you. He's like saying, I'm glad you're going to hell. Right? I mean, it, Peter said, the baptism doth also now save us. Mark 16 said what? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What happens if you're not baptized? You will not be saved. Well, I mean, come on. Either there's a dispensational change, or Paul is damning people to hell.
Never a change in the program.
There has to be a change. There has to be a change. Paul wrote half the New Testament. If Paul is incorrect, and he's teaching a wrong doctrine as if to Matthew 28, verse 20, Mark 16, and on, then he's sending everybody he's preaching to hell, and he's the number one evangelist of the New Testament.
That's right. We're not only dead, according to what he's saying. He is our pattern. He's going.
Exactly. Right. He's our pattern, and that creates a worse thing. Well, y'all understand? So if people say, why are you so adamant about baptism? Because there's a mass confusion in the church today. And it doesn't have to be. Yes, Wayne?
I was going to say, most churches teach that Paul, all he did is take what the 12 had and vandalized it, and that takes that where it
completely out. Absolutely. He's not part of the Great Commission, as a lot of the churches teach. They say that Paul's taking what he heard in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and taking it to the rest of the world. And folks, nothing further can be further away from the truth than that.
Yeah, I saw a thing on TV where they were making it as if, well, after Acts 9, when Paul, the short time he was with the disciples there and the apostles for that year, they taught him.
Yes. No, never. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, he said, verse 15, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name, I baptized also the household of Stephanus, and besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize. Well, compare that to the Great Commission. Put this in your Bible. Get your Bible pens out. You're going to want to write these down right there in verse 17. Christ sent me not to baptize would compare to Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, right? Mark 16, 15 and 16, and Acts 2:38. Put it in your Bible. You'll not remember it. Let me give them to you again. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Mark 16, 15 and 16, and Acts 2:38, and you may want to put 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. I don't have that in mind, but it would be a good note there. 3, verse 20. Why? Because Christ did send them to baptize. He said, go ye into all the world, help me, baptizing them. Well, he just said, Christ sent me not to baptize. Well, how can you do both at the same time? You can't do it. Well, I mean, they don't know this. Why? Because they've never studied baptism all the way out. When they read the word baptism, what do they think it's talking about?
Water.
First chapter of First Corinthians. I mean, surely they've seen it before. I mean,
well,
because they deny the verse.
They have to deny the verse.
I've talked to them before. They deny the verse.
Yeah.
So they just think this.
Well, they just don't think that. They think that's water baptized. How they would discount the verse, the Church of Christ would be in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, is that Paul wasn't primarily sent to baptize. Someone else would have done that. Okay? But the problem with that is we've got a list of how many baptisms? 11. Well, the ones, Paul, you saw the ones he baptized. It was a few people.
He said, thank God.
That I baptized none of them.
Well, he thought that was the salvation of mankind. Why would you thank God that you weren't doing it?
Exactly. I mean, guys, listen, this is, when you think it out logically, you're going, well, how can people not see this? Even Gene's starting to see it. Amen? It starts to build a case that you can't deny.
But they don't consider what...
And that's why, listen, you wonder why I'm fired up about this church? Listen, there are very few churches in Alabama, across the United States, that teach this truth. If you knew the truth shall make you free. But if you're not in truth, guess what? You're locked up in bondage, and we've all been there, amen? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, we have this list of 11. Now, we haven't dealt with the ones in the Old Testament. We'll probably deal with that next week and a little bit of the purification, okay? So this week, I want to finish up where we are in the New Testament. Is that okay with everybody? That's my goal tonight, is to finish that up. We have to run a little bit long and you guys get tired on the internet, I guess just turn me off. I'm like a TV channel. Ephesians chapter 4. How do I know what Paul taught? Well, here's part of it. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5. Everybody. One Lord. Everybody. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. Well, he just named the baptism unto Moses. He named the baptism unto dead. He talked about water baptism. He talked about the one spirit baptizing us into one body. He talked about the baptism into death, right? I mean, he knew of more than one baptism, but he said for the church, one Lord, come on everybody, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Well, that baptism, the one, and you want to put it by Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, get your Bible pen out, is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. You got to write it down, guys. You will not remember it. I mean, I know that my classes are among the brightest in the grace movement, but you will not remember it. Write it down. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Now, let's go read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not many members, but many. For by one Spirit. By there you need a couple verses. You need Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Why? Once we're placed into the body of Christ, once we're baptized into Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, we become one with Christ. Amen? As he hangs there and dies, and he's baptized into death, I am also baptized into death. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and I live now by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, on and on. Come on, guys. We're part of the body. When Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, who was there? I was. As he drops off into hell, who's there? I am. And bless God, as he is resurrected out of the grave, guess who also is resurrected? I am. And you know what? Listen, guys, that happens on a day. I was talking to a person today about their salvation. You know what? You can't continually ask for forgiveness. You either believe that you've been dead, that you're buried, and that you rose again, and that what you are is complete and right. Hey, listen, guys, I am the righteousness of God in him. I am the same righteousness as Almighty God. Say, well, you don't act it. Go ahead, say that.
You don't act it.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how I act. It wasn't based upon me. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. I became righteous because of what God did on his Son. What did he do to his Son? He made his Son to be sin for me, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now that baptism of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, is the only baptism of the 11 in your New Testament, the only baptism that could literally save a human being. That's it. So what would water baptism to do to that truth? Come on, it does something.
It identifies you as a part of Israel.
Make the cross of Christ.
It makes the cross of Christ an effect. Why? People start trusting in their water baptism. Now, Wayne was saying the truth of water baptism, but what would it do to be today? What would it do?
It would lie.
it would cause the cross of Christ to be of none effect. One, people, you go up to people and say, hey, if you were to die tonight, where would you go? I can't tell you how many people answer it this way. I hope I go to heaven. I said, why? He says, I've been baptized. And I say, you mean in water? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They don't even know the baptism that places them in the relationship with Christ and identifies them with the death of Calvary's cross. Now, this is a big deal. So what are all the churches doing that are teaching water baptism? They're making the cross of Christ of none effect. They do become the enemies of the cross of Christ. One, they're requiring more of you than God requires of you. Say, can you join your church without water baptism? Hey, you're either a member of the body of Christ or you're not. You can't join Grace Bible Church and become a member of the body of Christ. That ain't going to happen. But go ahead and try to join a Methodist or a Baptist or a Presbyterian church without water baptism. It ain't going to happen. Not going to happen. Isn't that weird? And they confuse people. How many here, when they got saved, felt like they ought to be baptized? Raise your hand. If you got saved and you felt like you should be baptized, how many of you all felt that way? Half? Third? Why did you feel that pressure? That's what they taught you. Man, wouldn't it have been great to say, once you're saved, hey, everything's okay? In fact, they should have told you this verse. Go to Colossians. People say, why do you get so mad at these other churches? I'm not mad at the people. I'm mad at the doctrine. I know, you know, people say, well, gosh, you sure mention these other churches a lot. Well, how many of y'all went to those other churches and never got taught the truth I've taught you over the last 4 weeks? So when I teach them, and they get mad at me for mentioning them, but they've been lying to you for all those years, and you're not mad at them. Oh, I love that pastor. He's so good to me. Yeah, but he lied to you. Oh, but I love him. He's got such a good personality. Yeah, but he lied to you. Oh, I love him. I love him to death. He's just so sweet to me. He's sweet. You know how them Southern girls are. They're so sweet. Oh, that pastor's sweet. Yeah, but he's been lying to you, telling you false truth. Oh, but I love him. So I go and share him the truth and say, you know that Barry? He just got a bad attitude.
He's bitter as quinine. Well, if they're so sweet, you've got to be bitter. Yeah.
Man, I mean, don't you? I'm sitting there telling them the truth, you know, and preaching my heart out to try to get people to see this truth. And Barry, he's just got a bad attitude. Well, if I had such a bad attitude, I'd just quit preaching because it doesn't pay very good here.
Not here, but it does other places.
Thank God. I'm waiting for the other place to come to pass. Come on, Colossians chapter 2. Read with me. Verse 10, Colossians 2. Read it with me. I want everybody to read it. Internet and the church. Here we go. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Come on. Are you complete in him?
Yes.
Would baptism make you any more complete than what you are?
No.
So why would they make you do it?
Just wet.
Just who said that? Yeah, just wet. Y'all see the problem? You can't be any more complete than you are in Christ. Is baptism, if you decide, okay, I'm going to do this as a public testimony, that's what they told me, is that going to add to the completeness that you are in Christ?
No.
No. But it will frustrate the grace of God, isn't it? It's making the cross of Christ a non-effect. Then people in their mind are going, well, should I be baptized or should I not? I'm not sure what I should do. I'm confused. I feel like I'm saved. Why are they making me get baptized? See the problem? Yes, Dale. It's all cloud.
What in most churches, what verse would they give you if you asked him what baptism was?
Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, probably Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Those three verses, probably. Acts 2:38, Mark 16:15 and 16, and Matthew 28:19 and 20.
I have had them taken to Romans 6.
Occasionally, but that would be in the link of being water baptized to get into Christ.
They would always say it was water.
Yes, which is, we know, incorrect. Yeah, Peter did that. Yeah, I mean, that was the baptism of Mark 16 and Matthew 28 and Acts 2:38. And that's what they would use at most. In fact, at a church of Christ, he wouldn't say, Would you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? You know what they say? Before they baptize you, they ask you a question in the Church of Christ. Does anybody know what they ask you? I've been to a couple of them. They say, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, which is the gospel of the kingdom? Which would be correct if that was going on today. But it has been interrupted by the program of grace. It's still, the dispensation is in full act today, whether they believe it or not.
Right. What if they've never heard it?
Well, we'll get to that. Okay. But just with baptism, it wouldn't matter who you are. There's only one program running today. What is it? One Lord, one faith.
One baptism.
Oh, that was pitiful. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. That's the program for today. How many did Peter preach? Two. Water baptism and the baptism of the
Holy Spirit.
Well, you can't preach two baptism while preaching one. People say, well, one doesn't really mean one. Well, if you play that game, you're going to get into trouble quick. Go to 1 Timothy. Did I say 1 Timothy?
Yes, you did.
How about if I'm not sure which one I want yet? Well, give me just a second. Let me think. Yeah. 1 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 5. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. How many mediators are there between there?
One.
Now, if that one doesn't mean one, like the one baptism doesn't mean one baptism, then we could slip in Mother Mary. You understand? We could put a chain. But it didn't say that. How many mediators are there between you and God?
One.
How many baptisms are there?
One.
You starting to see it? How many baptisms are there for today?
One.
Which one is it?
By the Spirit.
By the Spirit into the body. Can anybody give me the verse?
1
Corinthians 12, verse 13. Now, you and the internet can play along too. You are complete in Him. You lack nothing. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, everything that is possible has been yours. You're not. By the way, I might add, there aren't going to be any more blessings given to you than what He's already given. You say, well, what if I quit smoking? Would God bless me? No, He's already blessed you. With how many? All spiritual blessings. Go to Ephesians. You're not missing anything. You got it the moment you trusted Christ. The moment you gained the righteousness of God, you got it. Ephesians chapter 1, where was I going? All right, verse 3 is good to me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is a reference to who? God and Father, right? The who is the God and Father. Hath blessed us, going to bless us?
Yeah.
Hath blessed us with what?
All spiritual blessings.
That brings me to my next point on baptism. When you are saved, you have been blessed with what?
All spiritual blessings.
There are some that believe that after you are baptized in water, you get the second blessing, which is the baptism in the
Holy Spirit.
But that would be impossible for us. Why? You've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Ain't that odd?
I don't get the power from the second.
You got the power, baby. Hey, listen, you already got the power. You don't have the power to speak in tongues. There's no need for you. You don't have the power to heal. There's no need to. Why? God's strength is made perfect in
weakness.
And then Paul said, most gladly, therefore. So when you're weak, instead of thinking, man, I got to be strong. No, what you need to do is just glorify Him.
Right.
Say, well, I'm not sure how to handle this. My mother's got cancer. Why don't you praise the Lord? Say, well, she may die. Praise the Lord. To die is to what? And if it's your mother-in-law, you might want to praise the Lord twice. No. I'm joking. I'm joking because my mother-in-law is sitting here. Y'all got it?
This ain't really a question, but I was going to tell you. I was watching one of these Christian shows.
Which one's better, this show or that show? Thank God, I'd like you already.
About anointing and healing and power and all. It just blew me away because he said, I want everybody to put your Bible up in front of the TV like this right here. And he says, okay, transferable anointing. Through here, through their Bible, through my Bible, through your Bible, to you. Transferable. I mean, I was blown away.
There is so much hooey hooey that people don't know what's true.
That's wrong with what they've done on their teaching for the anointing.
Listen, if you had the unction from the Holy One, you need not that any man teach you. 1 John 2, verse 27.
You'd be going out and telling everybody, not sitting there listening to some stupid.
Someone says, well, I got the unction. Well, okay, shut your Bible. Let's just test this unction. Y'all understand what I just said? 1 John 4. Watch this. Go to 1 John.
You don't even need glasses anymore.
Thank you, brother. Brother, I want to see that. That is going to be cool.
I would like to see that too.
Where did I tell you? 1 John
4.
All right, verse 1. Now watch this. People say, well, you ought not to tempt the Lord, your God. I'm not. I'm just holding him at his word. See, if you got the baptism of water and then later got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? You'd have the unction. Amen? Well, look here. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because there's many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hence by, know ye not the Spirit of God, even the Spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, even now has already come. Come back up to the very first verse. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but do what? Test it. All right. So, I go to 1 John 2, and I test the Spirit. Verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know what?
All things.
So I would ask them, do you know who your apostle is? And if they say Peter or Jesus, what do we know? They don't have the unction. And if they said Paul, I would say, what verse is it in? I could try the Spirit. Y'all with me? I could try the Spirit. Come on down to verse 27. I can try it again. Watch this, 1 John 2, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abide in you, and you need not that any man what?
Teach you.
But the same anointing teaches you all things in his truth. I want you to turn, everybody grab their Bible, and I want you to turn to Hezekiah 3, 5. Turn it, turn there. Hezekiah 3, verse 5. Hezekiah 3, verse 5.
There is no Hezekiah.
Well, we know that you don't have the unction. And I have caught hundreds of people that way. You know what it says? Try the Spirit. Listen, guys, I've got good news and bad news. I can tell by what you say whether you're lost or saved.
Mm-hmm.
I can try the Spirit. There is no doubt to me who in this room has got a testimony of salvation and who doesn't. All I have to do is listen to you. I can try the Spirit. I can hear by what the words come out your mouth. So can you stand, can't you? You heard a few testimonies you didn't believe people were saved? How about you, Larry? You ever hear a testimony of the people in here? Now, I'm not talking just here, but all the people that's come. How about it, Terry? You ever hear somebody that you know wasn't saved? Hey, guys, you're not hiding from anyone but yourself. It's really kind of amazing. I've heard them all. Hey, guys, listen to me. When was there a moment that you were lost and you received Christ and you knew that it was finished? Done deal. A done deal. You didn't have to keep asking forgiveness over and over and over again. You didn't have to do that. You know, I had a guy came here for many years. He doesn't come here now. And he'd go out to eat with us every Sunday. And he'd pray above his meal. And you know how I feel about that, right? I don't believe in praying over the meal. I do give thanks to God every day, all day long, for the things and the blessing he gives me. But I'm never going to change that food into the nourishment of my body. I should pray that I should stay away from it. Pecan pie is no good for anyone, but I like it. Caused that plate to rattle when we were done. It was just spinning on the table. And then listen to me. Every time we went out to eat with that man, Larry will testify to you. He'd say, Lord, forgive us of our sins.
Mm-hmm. Over the meal.
Yeah, he would say, Lord, bless this food for the... And if we've done any sins, please forgive us of those sins. And I knew right then that the man was lost. Larry knew. And you know, when the guy wasn't around, we'd talk about him. Not bad. We would talk about him. Hey, this man's lost. What can we do? What could I say? What words could I use out of this Bible to show him that he needed a Savior? Well, you can't. So there was another lady came to our church. Mrs. Brown sat right next to where Larry would be sitting. And I was preaching to her about a simple message of salvation. I mean, I was trying to make it so simple that she could get it. Next Sunday, this man comes in, said, I've been faking it all along. Me and Larry were going, praise the Lord. But one of the guys in the congregation sat in the row behind Mrs. Brown, and he said, I can't believe it. You've been saved this whole time. Well, see, he'd been saying that he was saved, but he went back in his mind to when he was 15, 12 or 15, whenever it was, he walked the aisle for Jesus. And you know what he said? I don't remember what I trusted. I can't remember what I believed, and I don't ever remember. But I know that Monday, after you preached that Sunday, I was preaching to Miss Brown. I'm preaching over this way, and I'm trying to get Miss Brown to see it. That's my job, to make all men see what is the fellowship of them. I'm trying to get her to see it. But the words were going like that. And he got there and got lost on Monday. And he said, I got so nervous, I thought I was going to go to hell. And he said, I trusted the Lord. And that next Sunday, he came and he stood right where Mary was, on the right-hand side. Actually, he was one more seat back on the fourth row. And he stood up with his family there and said, I've been faking it all these years. I've never been saved. He'd heard Brother Moore preach. He heard Ricky Jordan preach. He'd heard all the preachers, Frank Lowry, Jerry Lockhart, all of them, much better than me. But one day he got lost. And the day he trusted Christ, the realism of the baptism of 1 Corinthians 12, he was identified with Calvary. Not with a religion, not with a church. He was identified with the Savior. It probably did. Let me tell you guys, and just bringing up a great point. If you ever doubt what he did, you're probably lost. Why? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you feel that, but you could get into a religious system. You won't have, listen, either Christ paid it all or he didn't. This is where you would have doubts. You would only have doubts if this was true, Jeff. Can you get a good shot of this part of the board? But what we do is we play baseball religion. And this is the deal. We get up and we believe in the Lord. Most of us believe in the Lord. How many believed in the Lord ever since they were little? Yeah, we all believe that. And so we come along and a preacher says, well, what you need to do is join the church. So we do. And then all of a sudden we start feeling like, boy, but, you know, I'm kind of sinning. I would say weigh out your good with your bad. And when you're 15, your bad starts outweighing your good. You know, about 15, 16, you start, amen, everybody been there. And so then they tell you, what you need to do is be baptized. And so the reason people doubt their salvation is, have I done enough? But when you get to the point of salvation, when you get to that moment of salvation, you saw the ball go out of the park. Christ hit it out of the park. You're not wondering whether you're going to make it all the way around. Why? You were on first base, joined the church, and you find out that Christ knocked it out of the ballpark. Are you wondering whether you're going to make it home safe or not? Anybody on first base think they're going to make it home safe? All of them, right? How about the people that are on second? Well, I went through an agnostic, but there again, I was around 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. I was an agnostic. I went through that. And most people start doubting. Well, if you're doubting whether there's a God, then how can you believe in a salvation of God? You see what I'm saying? I mean, nothing's going to separate me from the love of Christ. Which is a love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing's going to separate. So the realization is that this baptism, if you were saved, you were saved. Okay? Now, I can't tell you when you were saved. There's no way I could tell you. Yes?
It's kind of like me when I went to church. Probably 17. They drug me to the altar and I prayed and I thought I was saved. 18, I had a preacher preach hell like no other preacher's ever preached. You could feel the warmth in the room. In fact, I think they turned the heaters on. But I mean, it was that type of a preacher, and he could. And you know, I went to the altar and I prayed again to be saved. And you know, I don't know how many times I've walked the aisle. I don't know how many times I've said the sinner's prayer. How many times? But I never had that peace. It was always that little bit. And you know, finally, when I met you, and we spent about 3 hours in this Bible. And on my way home, like a testimony I've given forever, that night I said, if what you did wasn't enough, then I'm gone.
That's right. That's right.
And it was just like that. There was a peace that came over. Amen. And I don't have any doubts anymore.
Well, that's exactly right. And so I can't tell you your heart. I can't tell you your heart or your heart. All I can tell you is that once you have that peace, you know what you know.
There is nothing like that peace when you finally get it.
Listen.
Get it when I got it, man.
I didn't have anything to do with my baptism. I didn't have anything to do with the action of God on Christ. You know, a preacher preached to me. I didn't have anything. I didn't go up and say, preach to me the truth. And he preached, and I heard, and I believed, and I trusted.
Amen.
That's all you do. That is on a calendar. Somewhere in your life, I'm going to change this to a calendar real quick. There's days, and somewhere in the calendar of those days is a time that can be found. And God knows whether you're faking it or whether you got that true time. Everybody's got that time. And it either happened or it didn't happen. But all your eternity, listen to me very carefully, is struck on that time. Can you imagine the people that get up here and they talk, but they never had that time? And they're convinced because God's done certain things. I've had people literally say because a son was saved or this was done, that they believe God was with them. Well, folks, that's just baloney. Yeah, well, if you got that peace and you're happy with it, I'm happy with it too. You know, hey, guys, I'm not giving out peace here. That isn't my job. You know what my job is to do as a preacher? To make you uncomfortable by preaching the gospel. You know who's going to give you the peace?
The
Lord Jesus Christ. My job, if you feel uncomfortable, then you need to get it settled with Him. I'm just going to preach the Word. If that bothers you, something's wrong.
Man, I don't get my toes stepped on. I don't feel like I got to preach.
Amen. Well, guys, listen, we come to the end. We got one more thing. I'm going to deal with some Old Testament things. How many baptisms are for the church?
One.
Which one is it? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Has it got anything to do with water or hands or any man doing anything to you?
Nothing.
Who's the baptizer?
The Spirit.
Where are you baptized into?
The body.
And guys, that's the only one that will save you at all.